Good morning, everyone. So good to be on with you this morning with River of Life Church. We're excited to be live this morning. I hope that your family's doing well. I hope that this has been a great week for you. Hope that you've been encouraged and that you've had time to spend some time together as a family. Hey, Iris, it's good to see you this morning. Jessica Jackson, Carlos, good to see you this morning. I want to give everybody just a moment to get on. I wanted to just start off this morning, and I wanted to read you a psalm, and I wanted to just encourage you with this morning as we get ready to worship together this morning. This is what King David says in Psalms 145 in the Passion Translation. My heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. And I'm so excited this morning as we look at these verses and as we begin to talk about what God has laid on my heart this morning. I want to encourage you right now. We're not meeting together as a church family and worshiping together with instruments and things like that, but I want to encourage you, make sure that you're worshiping God. Make sure that you're spending time in His presence. Make sure that you're praying and blessing Him. Before we get into the word today, I want to just thank everyone who gave and helped last week with our Bags of Hope. We have an outreach that we're doing right now where we're giving away bags of food to families that are in need. And because of your generosity and because of many of you that came and helped serve, last Friday and last Sunday, we were able to give away over 40 bags of groceries to families that were in need. We also, last Sunday on Easter, we gave away over 150 Easter bags to children in the community. And I just want to thank you for giving towards that. I want to thank you for being generous in this season. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing to show the love of God in a practical way. It's such a pleasure to pastor River of Life Church here in Virginia and have the privilege of serving alongside of so many men and women who love God and who show that and demonstrate that on a daily basis. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to ask you to look at Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read to you this morning verses 44 through 48. And I want you to go ahead and turn there, and I'm going to go ahead and read that this morning. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples after he's risen from the dead. And it says this, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.'" Now, I want you to notice in verse 45, it says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." This is such an amazing scripture to me because these disciples had lived closely with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen the miracles. They had been with him. They knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament that Jesus preached from. They understood that. And the Bible's very clear. They had no understanding of what was happening. Jesus had to come and open their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And one of the greatest problems the disciples faced was a lack of understanding. The disciples, like I said, they lived with Jesus for 3 years. They saw the miracles. They heard him say many times that he was going to die and that he was going to be turned over to the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified and that he would rise again on the third day. But they didn't understand the scriptures until Jesus came and opened their eyes. You know what this shows me is that we can see without having understanding. We can hear without having understanding. We can read without having understanding. And the worst thing is that we can actually live our lives without understanding. We can be people that continue to do things that are not pleasing to God or continue to do things that are not good for us and those around us. And the problem is that we continue to do that because we don't have understanding. You know, it reminds me of a story I heard years ago of an old logger who broke his axe and went to the hardware store to buy a new axe. And while he was there, this was back in the 40s when chainsaws first came out. And the logger was in there and he was said, I'd like to buy a new axe. And the store owner showed him this new model of chainsaw. And he said, listen, if you buy one of these, it's going to cost you a little bit more money than an axe will, but you're going to be able to cut down 20 times the amount of trees in a day with this. And the old logger grabbed the chainsaw. It was the first time he'd ever seen one. And he looks at it and inspects it. And he has a puzzled look on his face, but he says, okay, well, if you say so, I'll give it a shot. So he buys the chainsaw, goes out. That was in the morning. And then that evening he comes back in. He's sweaty. He's tired. He's worn out. And he looks at the store owner and he says, son, I don't know what you're talking about, but he said, I've been working all morning and I haven't chopped down one tree. See, he didn't understand what a chainsaw was and how to use it. Because of that, he had a tool that was powerful that could do many things and could help him. But because he had no understanding of how it operated or how it worked, that chainsaw didn't do anything good for him. You know, life is hard without understanding, but many people today are living without understanding. Many people have God's word, but they just don't understand how to apply it. And I want to share some truths with you this morning. Every area where you're failing in life today is either due to a lack of understanding of God's word or just plain rebellion against the word that you know to be true. I want to say that again. Every area in your life today where you're failing is either due to a lack of understanding of God's word and putting it into practice or just plain rebellion against what the word of God says. When the disciples understanding was opened by Jesus, their world changed. All of a sudden, things began to make sense. Life began to make sense. Things that they couldn't understand before, because of this understanding that Jesus Christ brought to their lives, everything changed with their understanding. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, John tells us something amazing about Jesus and understanding. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. This is what John says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. I want you to notice that word, understanding. If you've got your paper Bible, highlight that word, circle that word, and come back to it. He has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What a powerful statement John makes in 1 John 5:20, that Jesus has come and he's given us an understanding. Friends, I want to tell you today that the understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, the understanding that Jesus' blood has paid for our sins will absolutely change your life. John tells us that Jesus has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. I want to tell you today that Jesus came to give you an understanding that you might know the truth, and the truth has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. I want to pray this morning that the eyes of our understanding would be open, and as we begin to look at some things in the Word of God today, my prayer for you is that your understanding would be opened in every area of your life. All of us are dealing with different things today. All of us have questions about different things that we're struggling with and different things that we're facing. And I want to just encourage you today and let you know that Jesus Christ came to bring understanding. The Word of God speaks to every issue that mankind faces if we'll take the time to get in His Word and understand what it means through a revelation from Jesus Christ. So would you pray with me this morning? And let's ask God for the next few minutes that we have that our understanding would be open to every area where we're walking in darkness. Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for my friends who are listening live. I thank you for those who are going to be watching after this is aired. And Father, I thank you today that you have all understanding and you desire to reveal everything to us, Father God, that pertains to life and godliness. And Father, I pray right now that any preconceived ideas that we have about you, about truth, about what to do in certain situations, Father, I pray that we would lay those things aside right now and we would come under the authority of the Word of God and we would let the Word of God wash our minds today and that we would receive with meekness the Word of God that is able to change us from the inside out. Father, I pray for myself, my family, and everyone that is listening today. Let us have ears to hear and let us have hearts to obey what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Jesus came that we might have understanding and that we might know the truth. And we see that through the verses that we've read already. And I want to ask you a rhetorical question today. Obviously, you can't answer back because I'm here in my office and you're wherever you are. But what is the biggest enemy of understanding in our lives today? What would you think that would be in your life? What's the biggest enemy? What's the biggest thing that stops you from being able to understand what God is trying to get through to you? I want to tell you what I believe it is. I believe it's pride. I believe pride blocks understanding from our lives. And let me give you an example of why that is. Pride knows it all. Pride knows it all. See, the Pharisees in Jesus' day were the religious leaders. They had the Word of God. Many of them had memorized entire books of the Old Testament. They knew Isaiah from front to back, all the way through. They knew, some of them knew the complete Old Testament by heart, and yet they had no understanding when Jesus was standing right in front of them because of the pride that was in their heart. Their pride actually blocked their understanding. Don't you love talking with a know-it-all? Have you ever had that happen to you in life where you're trying to share something with somebody and every word that comes out of their mouth is, I know, I know, I know. They're a know-it-all. You can't tell them anything. You can't help them with anything. They're a person who knows everything about everything. And you can't tell them anything that they don't already know. Do you know someone like that today? You're probably thinking of somebody right now in your mind, and you probably have a smile on your face thinking, Pastor, I know exactly who you're talking about. And I want to tell you that the person that you have in your mind is the wrong person, because actually who I'm talking about is you. All of us tend to have this ability to be know-it-alls. And that's the reason we get into arguments with other people, because we feel like we know better than they do. Let me tell you, a person that is full of pride and has need of nothing except to be heard and listened to. If you find yourself in conversations and all you want is to be able to get your point across, all you want is somebody to understand you and to hear you, I want to encourage you today that you're operating in pride. That's a prideful spirit. And it's so much easier to see that in other people than it is to see that in ourselves. See, pride demands to be understood, and it demands to be heard, and it actually blocks understanding from coming to our lives. Pride demands to be understood and heard, but love and humility seek to understand. Let me say that again. Love and humility actually seek to understand. Do you know? Or let me ask you this, don't you love talking with a person who is full of love and humility? A person that when you speak to them, they look you in the eyes and you can see the care that they have for you. You can see that they're so humble. They don't feel like they know it all. They don't feel any of those things. They just look at you and listen in love. When you share, they listen intently. They ask good questions. They're seeking to know and understand what you're sharing with them. A person like that can learn whatever you're sharing because they only want to understand you. Many times, most of us come at those situations from a prideful vantage point instead of with love and humility. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself as well. God has been pointing this out in my life over and over this week as I've been trying to get this message ready to share with you. Listen, pride will block understanding while love and humility will increase understanding in your life. Pride is one of the greatest enemies to understanding that there is, and love and humility will actually bring that presence of God and that understanding. Jesus is such an antithesis to the Pharisees. They knew everything. Nobody could tell them anything. Jesus was full of love and humility, even though he knew everything. He asked questions of other people, and he listened to them. It's so amazing to me watching Jesus in the scriptures ask questions that he already knows the answer to. And he's not being facetious. He's not being rude about it. He's not saying, how do you read that? He's looking at that person and he really wants to know. He wants them to understand. How do you read the scriptures? What do you see in this? Luke chapter 15, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you, but it's one of my favorite verses when it talks about Jesus. And it says this, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Did you catch that? Tax collectors and sinners actually drew near to Jesus. He's sitting at the table, and when he begins to speak, all the other conversations around him stop, and people that are sinners, people that are tax collectors, people that are evil, lean in to hear what Jesus is saying. Why do you think that is? Because Jesus was not speaking with pride like the Pharisees. He was speaking with love and humility, and that love and humility actually drew people to him. People are repelled by prideful sharing of the truth. Let me say that again for you. People are repelled by a prideful sharing of the truth. This is why many times when you and I get into arguments, even though what we're saying is true and right, the other person can't receive it because we're giving it to them in pride. It's not actually the truth that they're rejecting. It's actually the pride in us that is causing them to push that truth away. I know that can be painful to hear and think about because it can be painful for me to understand that. But on the flip side, people are attracted to loving and humble sharing of the truth. I want to encourage you, if you've been arguing with people this week, if you've been having a hard time getting people to understand, maybe it's not the truth that's the problem that they're having. Maybe it's the way that you're sharing that truth with them. Now, I want to encourage you, even as I'm speaking today, think back over the week and allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on those prideful moments in your heart, and then just repent of that and ask him to help you share the truth with love and humility like Jesus did. Listen, truth spoken with pride will only repel others, but truth spoken in love and humility, that will draw others in. We see that in the life of Jesus. We're supposed to be imitators of Jesus in every way. And we're to speak the truth of God, but we're to do it with love and humility, not in pride. Many people get this wrong, and it's why many of their relationships don't work. And they're frustrated so many times because they have the truth, but they're sharing the truth with pride instead of love and humility. I want to ask you today, friend, do you speak with others in pride or in humility and love? Think back on this week, the conversations that you had with your spouse. Were you speaking with love and humility? Were you trying to be understood, or were you trying to understand? How about with your children? You know, this one gets me all the time because I feel like my children should just listen and obey me, right? I know many of you parents out there feel that way. Who do you think you are to talk to me like that, or to question me about this, or to question me about that? The truth is that I take care of you and I give you all these things, and I can get so caught up in that. But the truth shared with love and humility doesn't sound like that. The truth shared with love and humility looks at that other person and understands their weaknesses and seeks to understand them and seeks to help them. How are you doing this week if you're a boss with your subordinates? How have you been speaking to them? Have you been speaking in pride? Maybe that's why they're not able to understand or do what you're asking them to do. Or have you been speaking with love and humility? Listen, if you're a teenager or a child today, how have you been speaking with your parents? Have you been speaking with them like you know it all in a spirit of pride? Or have you been coming to them in love and humility? I want to tell you, the way you bring the truth has a huge impact on the way people are able to receive the truth. And how about those of you who work for a boss? How have you been treating that boss this week when you speak with them? Is there understanding this week between you and your boss? And maybe if there's not, is it because you're sharing in pride instead of humility? I want to go right now to John chapter 8, and I want to show you an example of Jesus speaking with humility and kindness while bringing about an amazing understanding to everyone who's listening to him. So you can go with me to John chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And I pray that as we read these verses, I want you to notice Jesus. And I want you to notice the crowd that he's speaking to. And then I want you to notice the Pharisees that bust in and what they do. And I want you to notice this woman who's caught in the very act of adultery. And I think as you look at all of these people, you're going to see how Jesus is getting ready to bring understanding to people in a way that they've never seen before. Let's read this together. This is John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all of the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. I want you to notice how the people came to him. He wasn't sending out invitations. He wasn't giving away iPods. He wasn't doing any of those things. He was speaking with love and humility, and people were drawing near to him. Verse number three. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Friends, what an amazing, amazing, amazing passage of scripture that shows us how Jesus Christ came to bring understanding. In verse number two, Jesus was teaching the people, and he was bringing an understanding to those who would listen to him. So Jesus began to teach, and people began to come, and they began to flock to him because of that love and humility. He was speaking with the passion and the power of God. He wasn't speaking with pride, even though he was God in the flesh, even though he knew everything. He knew the very hairs on every one of their heads. He knew all of that in that very moment, but he still spoke with love and humility. And all the people were drawn near to him. Then in verse 3, we see the scribes and the Pharisees, they came to Jesus as well, but they didn't come for understanding. They didn't come to hear what Jesus had to say. They weren't interested in learning from Jesus because of their pride. As a matter of fact, they were the teachers, not him. They had come to that meeting that morning to teach Jesus a lesson, to catch him in a trap, because they knew what he was teaching in their eyes and in their mind was false, and they were going to be rid of him, and they were going to make a public example out of him, and they were going to mock him openly. As a matter of fact, they thought that they had a foolproof plan that they were going to bring and catch Jesus in the very act of breaking the law of God. And what they didn't realize is that the pride that was in their lives was actually blinding them, that it was God they were setting up. It was God that they were trying to trap. It was God that they were trying to pull the wool over his eyes. And this is what I'm talking about. That pride had blinded them to the point where they didn't even realize that. They had no idea who he was. They couldn't receive understanding from Jesus because in their eyes he was untrained and he was beneath them. And so they couldn't receive from him, and they came to try to trap him. Then verse 4 shows us this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And these Pharisees are bringing her there, and they say, "Jesus, we caught her in the very act. She's done wrong. What are you going to say about it? What are you going to do about it?" And they were thinking to themselves, "We've got him now, boys. We have got him now. There's no way he's going to be able to get out of this. He knows what the law says, and he's going to have to agree with us." And they thought they had Jesus, but little did they know they were getting ready to be taught a lesson in understanding. They had no idea what was getting ready to happen to them. They knew that this woman was caught and she was dead. She was dead. They had her dead to rights, and they knew she couldn't get out of this. Verse number 5, what did they say? She's done wrong, and the law demands that she be punished. And they were right. The law does demand that adultery would be punished. And then they look at Jesus, and I can almost hear the condescending tone, but oh, good teacher, what do you have to say about this? In front of all these people that you're teaching, in front of all these people we busted in here, and we want to know, good teacher, what do you have to say? Verse 6, we understand that they asked this question not because they wanted understanding. There's a lot of people that ask questions, and they're not seeking understanding. They're trying to poke holes in what God says. They just want to, they want to poke at you, and they want to poke at God, and they want to ask frivolous questions that don't mean anything. They're not looking for understanding. What the Pharisees were trying to do was they were trying to accuse Jesus of saying or doing something wrong. Now, I want to ask you today, do you see the wickedness in their hearts? Do you see how evil that was, that they're trying to trick Jesus? They're not looking for understanding. They're looking to actually trap him and trick him. They didn't want understanding. They wanted a way to find to condemn Jesus. They were showing in that moment their hatred for Jesus and his love for other people. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. It's so amazing. If they had asked me a question like that, I probably would have responded. Generally, when people ask me a question, I don't have the understanding that Jesus has, and I don't do what he does a lot of times, and I'm praying that God would give me that. And as a matter of fact, I would love to ask you to pray for your pastor, that when people ask me dumb questions, that I would have God's understanding in how to respond. Now, I love what Jesus does. They're showing this contempt and this hatred for Jesus. And how many of you know, boy, when people show you contempt and you know what they're doing, it makes you angry, but not Jesus. Look at what he does. He just stays there and he pretends like he doesn't even hear them. He doesn't answer that foolish question. He bends down and he starts writing in the dirt. And I want you to understand how angry this made the Pharisees. My gosh, I could see their faces, and they're just thinking, who does he think he is? He's not even going to answer us? He's going to be right here in front of all these people. I know he heard the question, and he's not even going to answer. He's not even going to say anything. Jesus just acts like he doesn't even hear, bends over, and he starts writing in the dirt. You know what the Bible says? It says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus was doing. I think he was showing the Pharisees and anyone that could look how foolish the question that they had actually asked was, how foolish they were. And verse 7, I want you to notice this. This is so amazing. It says, after they asked Jesus this question, and instead of answering, he bent down and started writing in the dirt. Now, some scholars believe that Jesus was writing the Ten Commandments in the dirt so that they could see it. No one really knows, but that's what a lot of people say. But I want you to notice the way the Pharisees responded to this in verse 7. They kept asking. They didn't just ask once, they kept asking. And I can almost hear them saying, aren't you going to answer us, all-knowing one? We know that you've claimed all these things, and so you must know the right answer, Jesus, in front of everybody. Won't you tell us what the right thing to do is? They probably thought, oh, boys, he's trying to figure out what to say because he knows we've got him trapped, just like he's trapped us several times with his questions. We've got him now. There's nothing he's going to be able to do. He's got to agree with us. There's nothing, and they're standing there just looking with bated breath, waiting for Jesus to admit that they're right. They're so sure of themselves. They know that they've got him right where they want him. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus is about to bring understanding to them in a completely different way. What does Jesus do? He raises himself up, and he didn't answer their loaded question. He makes a statement that would help them come to an understanding of the truth. Isn't it amazing how Jesus does that? Many times we have questions of God, and God is not going to answer us the way we think he should answer. He's going to give you a statement from his word that if you will receive it, will bring understanding to you like no other thing in your life. I want you to listen to the statement that Jesus gives to these men who are saying, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses declares and demands that she be put to death. What do you say? And instead of Jesus answering that question, this is what he does. He rises up and he looks at each of them in the eyes and he says, he who is without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone. Wow. Can you imagine what must have happened to each and every one of them when they heard that response? What a turn of events this was. Jesus turned the law on them. and brought about an amazing understanding that every one of them understood. See, the Pharisees understood the law. They were keepers of the law. They were teachers of the law. And what Jesus did in that moment is he said, listen, you are using the law to condemn this woman. Now I'm going to turn the law around and put it on you. And the law, the same law that you use to condemn this woman, is the same law that is condemning you right now. And every one of them understood what Jesus was saying. And it's an amazing thing when the law is turned on us, isn't it? How hard it is to see where we're wrong, but it's so easy to see where others are wrong. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I think about people that I love and care about, it's so easy for me to see the wrong in their lives, and it's so hard for me to see the wrong in my own life. And that's why Jesus said, listen, whenever you get ready to confront somebody and take the speck out of their eye, first take the log that's in your own eye. Jesus was bringing about an understanding here to the Pharisees, to the woman caught in adultery, and to everyone that was around listening to this teaching, that the law of God is going to bring about that in all of us, that we're all going to see that we've fallen short, that all of us, even the ones who think they're the most righteous, have broken God's commandments. Every one of us has sinned, and every one of us deserve death, just like this woman does. Now, Pharisees, if you want to be the first one to cast a stone, go ahead and cast the stone. But guess what? The same punishment she received is the same punishment that you're going to receive. And when we see it from that point of view and we understand what Jesus was saying, we don't want that person to be punished anymore, because if they're punished, that means we have to be punished, correct? And I want you to understand, we've all broken God's law. That's what Jesus was saying. And you're just looking at this woman who's committed this while not seeing the wrong that you've committed. What an understanding to receive today. Who has someone in your life today that you're upset with because they've done you wrong, or they've done wrong in your life, and you think they deserve to be punished? They deserve to pay for what they've done. And the Word of God says they do. So God, punish them. Make them pay for what they've done. And if you look at these verses and you see the understanding that Jesus is bringing, he's going to turn that law around and let you look at it as it's condemning you and as it's bringing judgment upon you. And we don't want that for ourselves, so we can't want that for anyone else. Let this sink into you this morning. Verse number 9, then those who heard it, let's look at the response of these Pharisees that were so proud that had Jesus caught and dead to rights. Let's look at their response. It says, then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. Their own consciences, along with the understanding that Jesus brought, would not allow them to throw that stone at the woman, because they knew, if I throw the stone at her, I've got to throw the stone at myself, and I don't want to kill myself, so I can't do that to her. They had come to trap Jesus, and they had come to condemn this woman, and one by one, they left condemned because Jesus opened their understanding. Verse number 10, I want you to look at what Jesus says to the lady. Has no one condemned you? What beautiful words when you've done something wrong. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have made mistakes, and all of us want to hear, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I'm looking at you, and I'm believing the best in you. That's what you want to hear from people, and that's what people want to hear from you. And then Jesus doesn't just wink at her sin. Jesus doesn't just say, listen, you committed adultery, and you know what? I said that to those guys, but it was only for them. It wasn't for you. No, it was for her too. Jesus tells her, go and sin no more. In other words, this is not a get-out-of-jail-free pass. This is not this cheap, wimpy grace that says God's grace is a band-aid to cover your sin. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying, listen, woman, I don't condemn you. These people don't condemn you. Now you go and sin no more. My love and my grace is made sufficient for you if you repent of your sins and put your faith in me. And I want you to understand this. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. You know how beautiful this is? The Bible says the Son of Man did not come to condemn sinners, but to save them. Jesus was the only one there who literally could throw a stone at the woman, and he could have thrown a stone at every person standing there. But he didn't. Why? Because he was not full of pride. He was full of love and humility. He was full of compassion that comes from the Father. God is not looking to punish the guilty. He's looking to forgive. And he demonstrated that when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Even those who are experts and teachers of God's word, pastors, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fathers and mothers have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Presidents, politicians, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, anyone that you can think of, they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need understanding in our lives. We all need the grace of God in our lives. And God loves you and I so much that he sent his son Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, like the Pharisees wanted to do this woman, and like you and I so often want to condemn those who we feel have done us wrong. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came to give his life as a ransom for many, that those who would repent of their sins and put their faith in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I want to encourage you today, friend, we are to be like Jesus Christ, and we cannot do that without the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Now, I want to ask you today, have you experienced his salvation and forgiveness of sins? Can you imagine how much that woman that was caught in adultery loves Jesus? That when she was caught in the act and she knew that she had done wrong, she wasn't trying to get out of it. She wasn't saying, no, I wasn't doing what they're accusing me of. She was just standing there broken in front of a huge crowd of people. And she knew that she had done wrong, and she knew that she deserved death, and she knew that everything she had done was out in the open for everyone to see. And she stood there with her head bowed low, and Jesus Christ came in, and he stopped the condemnation that was coming against her. He shielded her, he protected her, and he gave her the grace that she needed. And I can only imagine when everybody walked away and Jesus said, lift up your head and look, where are your accusers, woman? I did not come to condemn you, but I came that you might have life. Friends, I want to ask you today, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you received that grace from him? Because you can't give that grace to other people until you've been forgiven, until you've received that grace. I want to encourage you today, right where you are, you can call on the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he won't turn you away, that he will save you. If you understand that just like that woman, you deserve death because you've broken the law of God. And you may not be an adulterer, but the Bible says that all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us have to come to a place where we stand in front of Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins and we give our lives to him, and he will put new life in you. He will put everlasting life in you. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're not walking with him, make that decision today. You can just pray a real simple prayer, and you can just say, I did this in 1998 on the USS Wasp in a coffin rack in a berthing area when I was in the Marine Corps. And I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I've made a mess out of my life. And if you can do anything with me, please come into my life and change me and save me. And friends, I want to tell you, in 1998, he did just that. And I'm still growing and I'm still learning. Now, I want to tell you, right where you are, you don't have to be in a church building. You can be in your car right now. You can be in your bedroom right now. You can be in your living room surrounded by your family, and you can repent of your sins, and Jesus Christ will change you forevermore. He did not come to condemn you, but he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I want to just encourage those of you that are believers today. Are you walking with him, and are you growing in your relationship with him daily? What's this week been like? Has it been a week of growth? Has it been a week of walking with him? Has it been a week of living in understanding? Or has it been a week that's been kind of put to the side and wasted? I want to encourage you, friends, don't waste the time that we have right now. What areas in your life do you need his understanding today? I believe every one of us have areas in our life where we need the understanding of Jesus to come to us. Maybe today you need understanding in your marriage. Maybe you need to have understanding, and you need to understand why your spouse is the way they are, why they act the way they do, or why this or why that. I want to encourage you, Jesus can bring you understanding, and if you'll talk with your spouse with love and humility instead of pride, you're going to get a lot farther this week. Maybe you need understanding in your parenting. If you'll speak with love and humility, you're going to get a lot further than if you speak with pride. Maybe you need understanding in your job life or in direction or where you're supposed to go. I want to encourage you today, friends, Jesus Christ came to open up our understanding. The Word of God is full of wisdom and direction. If you'll look at it, if you'll seek it, if you'll read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, you're going to see God do amazing things in your life today. Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to reveal to you the truth of the Word of God. Just like He did for the disciples. This week, He wants to open up your understanding of the Scriptures so that you would know what to do in every area of your life. Now, I want to pray for you today. Now, I want to ask God as we get ready to close that He would open up your understanding and that this would be a week that you would walk in new revelation as you look at the Word of God, as you study the Word of God. I want to encourage you, let the Holy Spirit illuminate the Word of God to you this week. And may God's grace and peace be with you. Let me pray for you today as we get ready to close. Father, I just come to you right now, and I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I thank you for every person that is listening to this live, every person that is listening to this on replay. God, I ask you right now that you would bring understanding to them in every area of their lives. I pray that humility would come, that love would come. Lord, that we would be people that would repent of pride. And right where you are, if you know that pride is rising up in you, the way that you defeat pride is not by trying not to be prideful. It's admitting that you're prideful and asking God to take that out of your life and replace it with love and humility. So, Father, right now, I just ask you every area in my life where pride is rising up, I admit it, God. And I ask you that you would wash me clean from it. And I pray that you would replace pride in my life with love and humility so that understanding from you could come and flow in my life. Jesus, thank you for it. Thank you for my friends that are watching. I just bless their homes and lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, if you have any prayer requests today, you can send that to us in a direct message, and we want to pray for you. If it's something personal and you don't want everybody to see it, you can send that to us, River of Life, Virginia, in a direct message. If it's something that's not personal, you can pop it in the comments, and Pastor Crystal and I will be praying for you this week, and we're believing God is going to do some great things in your life this week. I also want to encourage you. I'm not going to give a bunch of announcements this morning, but I just want to encourage you to check us out. Check out our website at rolchurchva.com. You can see everything that we're doing throughout the week. We've got groups that are meeting all the time. And so I want to encourage you on Zoom. Obviously, we're not meeting face-to-face yet, and we're just waiting, and we're watching everything just like you are, and I promise you, we want to get back together as soon as it is possible. We're planning a party. We're planning to have a great first service back together whenever we can do that, and so we're praying for you in the meantime. Today is Miriam's birthday. It's our youngest daughter's 16th birthday. That's why Pastor Crystal's not with me right now. They're getting everything ready, and so I'm getting ready to leave this and go and have a great birthday party with Miriam. And so if you're friends with her on Facebook, send her a happy birthday. And guys, God bless you. We love you. And we hope that Jesus brings some amazing understanding to your life this week as you seek Him and get into the Word together. God bless you guys. We love you, and we'll see you soon.